Welcome back to America's leading higher education podcast, The EdUp Experience, where we make education your business. Hosts Dr. Joe Salustio, Elizabeth Leiba, and producer Elvin Freites bring you the brightest and most influential minds in higher education today. We explore innovations, ideas, and issues in higher education and beyond, and hopefully have a little fun along the way. Now let's get to it. This episode of the EdUp Experience is sponsored by MDT Marketing. MDT Marketing is a digital marketing agency with a vision of creating education, marketing, and technology programs that improve people's lives. Specializing in student nurturing programs, digital advertising, marketing technology, and digital printing, MDT Marketing's seasoned team is entrusted by higher education institutional leaders to develop personalized communication strategies that are compliant and highlight what differentiates their institutions. Learn more about MDT Marketing at mdtmarketing.com. Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience, where we make education your business, interviewing the brightest and most influential minds in higher education and beyond. This is Dr. Joe Salustio, always with me by my side, the phenom, Elizabeth Leiba. Elizabeth, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. I appreciate you asking. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Basically what I've been doing is just following your work, Liz, and you've been doing some pretty impressive things lately, like a CNN article that had over 2 million views. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, when she said it had 2 million, I was like, did you mean like 2 million? Or like, I thought it was like a typo because she like DM'd me and said that. I was like, what?
So yeah, that is not a typo. That is why I call you the phenom. In fact, I had somebody DM me the other day on LinkedIn and say, hey, I saw you call your co-host the phenom. I've got to check out an episode. Actually catching on now, phenom.
Well, we have another phenom.
Well, right, look at that.
Our side here that can attest to the value. We have some insight that she's going to bring us. So
on the line, yeah. Right now, we have Sandra Doran. She is president of BayPath University. Sandra, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How about you all?
We're doing great. Liz, how you doing?
Good. I'm doing great.
We're excited to talk to you, Sandra. Awesome. Very excited to talk to you, in fact. And before we jump in and ask you some, I ask really easy questions and then I just sort of tune you up, get you comfortable. And Liz comes in with the absolute bombs.
Not true.
That is true. Go back and listen to some episodes, everyone. You'll find out that it's true. but most importantly, how are you? How's your health? How's your family?
Well, thank you very much for asking, and thank you for having me as part of your podcast series. I've been listening to your other podcasts, and they're inspirational. So I'm happy to be a part of your series, and I look forward to our conversation today. Thank you for asking. My family is healthy and well. We're being careful, like everyone. We're following the data. We're following the science, and we hope that you and your families are all well.
We're good. We're good. I mean, we're out here in California. We're back on quarantine or whatever you want to call it. Safer at home, stay at home. It's one of those. Basically, don't go anywhere and do anything. So, you know, that's how about you, Liz? How you guys holding up?
Same. I mean, we're out South Florida. Same thing. We're pretty much a hot spot as well. So we've been being very cautious and making sure that we I love that, follow the science. That's what we're doing as well. Making sure that we follow the recommendations from the CDC and do everything we can to stay safe. That's what it's all about.
Well, we want to talk to you about what's happening at BayPath. I mean, you know, every institution's different, which is why this podcast has been so important to bring on presidents and administrators to talk about what's happening at their institutions. We're well into the fall term, actually getting close to closing it down. How has it been going at BayPath? What's been happening? How's it been going? Give us a once over on how things have progressed through your fall term.
So we feel very strong about our students, our faculty and staff. As you indicated, Liz, we've been following the data and the science. Our students have responded beautifully. We had our first generation students on campus, our first year students this fall, because we felt it was absolutely so critical to ensure that they had the college experience that they dreamed of, that they expected. Because frankly, a lot of first generation students, if they don't step foot on a college campus, then they may not ever go to college. And that's such an important part of our mission that it was absolutely essential that they be here. They were here. They had a successful fall semester. But here's the interesting thing is for the last 20 years, beginning in 1999, we actually began offering courses online. We offered an online remote learning, robust student experience. So when the pandemic reared its ugly head in March, we were already prepared with robust courses that were developed using innovative tools. We've received federal grants, corporate grants to develop these courses using predictive analytics, using wraparound services. We've got a very special scalable model, which is called SOUL, S-O-U-L, which provides us, provides us with the insights that we need and the tools that we need to make our women successful. You probably know that we're a women's undergraduate college. And we've got two different women populations that we serve. We serve the traditional 18 to 22-year-old, and we also serve the very important adult woman who wants to return to school and secure her bachelor degree, so frequently has some credits but never was able to complete a full degree because of life circumstances. And so we already had this really robust student-engaged learning online experience. And so for us, we were able to transfer all of our more traditional classes and students into this SOUL model, and it's been extremely successful.
Now, you're speaking my language. I mm-hmm. love this just strategic foresight. And anybody who jumped onto online, even in a small way, to use it as a complement to on-ground efforts. It's just smart. It's just smart business. It's being able to offer education when you can't offer it on-ground to someone. It gives you the flexibility and reach, which I think is important as the student continues to evolve. And a number of institutions are going to be competing for online students. So I think all of that matters, especially when you have a pedigree of doing it the right way. That matters.
Right. Right. I think you're right, because the question that we have always asked ourselves is, how can we best serve our students? Some people are asking the question, how can we bring the on-campus experience online? Mm-hmm. And you see the difference in those two mm-hmm. questions, right? Mm-hmm. So many institutions, what they were compelled to do because of the pandemic was, over a very short period of time, they had to essentially transform their on-campus courses into an online format. That's not what we had to do. We already had a robust blueprint for how to deliver online, deliver content and co-curricular and internships in an online format.
I love that's so awesome.
It really is. And I'm going to ask you one more question about pandemic related items, and then I'd like to leave it and kill it, because I think there's so many more important, cooler things to talk about that you guys are doing at Bay Path. And the pandemic is, as much as it has affected things, it is what it is now. And talking about how we've responded, I think we've all responded in different ways. But I did really, really like the path forward commitment as I was reading about that. And I thought that would be just a good to point out. What is the path forward commitment, and why was it important for you?
So the path forward commitment was our commitment to our community. So it was a community social compact is the way I would describe it. It was a compact, a commitment between all members of our community, faculty, staff, and students, around keeping each other safe, around wearing masks, around our commitment to test weekly, our commitment to social distance, and to be careful with each other's health, to follow the data, to follow the science, and most importantly, to do it in service of students and each other. So it was a a blueprint for how to continue to educate students and serve each other during a pandemic.
I like that. It makes the I don't know, just the consequence. And when you sign something like that as an incoming student or even faculty member, the consequence when you commit to doing it, it just makes it much more aware and visible for you as an individual.
Right.
Like when you consider community, right. But beyond your own area, right?
Right. It feels very intentional. You know, it's something that we're committing to keeping each other safe. And it's been very successful.
Well, Elizabeth, I'm going to ask you to jump in. The fact that BayPath is an all-women's university, there's a lot of women's power going on around here.
That's right.
I thought I'd just pass the mic, as the Beastie Boys once said, and let
you
take over.
No, I love that, because this is something that we are so committed to, the idea of highlighting schools that are working on how to be more responsive to students, whether it's women, whether it's other marginalized, whether it's first gen, whether students from the Black community. What can we do to serve students better? And I love how you talked about the two different types of students, because a women's student, because typically when we think about diversity, sometimes we think in a monolithic, like Black students are all the same or women are all the same. But I love that you talked about women that are traditional students as opposed to women that are re-entering and trying to maybe further their career. Because I did it both ways, right? Undergrad, I did it as a 18-year-old traditional. And then I went back in my late 20s and I was a single mom and I was trying to, you know, go back and do some graduate study. So tell us a little bit about your philosophy in terms of catering to different types of students and how you're able to meet the needs and your online learning philosophy and how that has helped to improve access for your students.
Right. Thank you so much, Liz, because, you know, BayPath is such a passion for me, for everyone here. We're an innovation-driven institution. We're focused on this mission that you just articulated of serving all women, adults returning to college, the 18 to 22-year-old population, and women who want advanced degrees, you know, masters, doctorates, but all with a career focus. And that's a real differentiator for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were founded in 1897, so almost 125 years ago, as a secretarial school. And we have continued to evolve through these 125 years, always focused on the needs of women. So think about this. Women have not always had a choice about going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, they were not welcome at college. And then there were limited options for them, including a secretarial school. And then there were multiple options as schools began to go co-educational. But now women are returning to all women classrooms. And the question is why? The answer is to find their internal and external voices. They're able to speak freely in the classroom without judgment. They're able to cultivate their inner strengths so that when they enter their careers, where the environment is not always supportive as an environment that is all women, they can and will succeed. So our job, Liz, is to grow the dream of every woman who is here at BayPath, whether they're returning, like you, a single mom, when they have some credits, when life intervened and they had other responsibilities, or our more traditional students who are 17 or 18-year-olds. But the one thing I would observe, well, there's several things, but in particular, there is a characteristic that runs through all of our students, and that is resilience. They're resilient because they've had to be. You know, over 50% of our students are first generation working through college. As we said, as adults, they have other responsibilities. So they bring resilience to BayPath. They bring a dream. We complement the dream, the resilience, with superior technology, faculty expertise. We offer career-relevant programs so that then when they come here, they know they will emerge with a career following internships, et cetera. And so We care both about our students wanting them to thrive and our graduates wanting them to thrive. So it's an exciting ecosystem.
Absolutely. And what do you think, if there was a takeaway or piece of advice you would give to other schools that don't necessarily cater specifically to a women demographic, majority women on campus, what can they do better? How can they help women to express themselves, to find their voice, to feel comfortable in the classroom? What are some things that you're doing well there that could be modeled elsewhere to help women to be more successful?
So I think, we women's councils, courses that are focused on women empowerment. I mean, one of the things that we've witnessed in the recent election is the rise of women in local, state, national politics. And many of those women went to all women's colleges, but as you point out, many did not. Mm-hmm. And so how can we offer that same sort of support? And I think that's what we're seeing now in society, is how to support women, and importantly, as you raised, how to support women of color. Mm-hmm. So, for example, because our women here, and I would suggest that other colleges really need to focus on this as well, because we have 60% women of color in our population, our students have an advantage in the workforce because they have already worked in multicultural teams. They have already worked collaboratively in an environment where all perspectives are valued. Mm-hmm. Instead of being in a classroom, perhaps, of 60 or 70 people, where there may be people of color in the classroom, but they may not have had that intimate relationship where they've developed the skills and the competencies to work with folks from diverse backgrounds.
Very interesting. What do we do in higher ed to cultivate more women in leadership? One of the things we're finding has been difficult for us on the podcast is we're really trying to get leadership women that are in positions like yourself that have really come through the ranks and can really shed some light on women leaders in higher education. But we're finding that we have, from my experience in higher education, we have a lot of women in faculty roles, but not enough women in leadership. How do we cultivate that better?
So we need to lift each other up. That's the first thing. You know, we really need to support each other. One of the things that we do really well at women's colleges, and I think we need to nurture this across the nation, and I think it is beginning to happen, Liz, is women are supporting other women. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely critical. Lifting each other up, providing the mentoring, which sometimes can be hard to come by. Providing the leadership, the support. So that's one of the things that we know very well. Unless you can see yourself, and our Vice President-elect Harris referred to this, it's possibility. Unless you can see what's possible in someone else, it's very hard to imagine it for yourself. So we need more women in positions of leadership and women of color in particular.
Thank you for that. Very good point. Mentorship, very, very important. Absolutely.
Very important.
I've got to, let me jump in. And I think this is just one of the coolest things I've seen lately. And I'm going back to May, May 6th of 2020. And you look at really still true to today, the devastating impact of unemployment, particularly in food service, hospitality, retail, travel industries. We're continuing to see it. I think we will continue to see it for a while. So I see, you know, BayPath goes in and you guys offer a free 3-credit online undergraduate college course for women on the fundamentals of digital literacy, which of course helps these women expand digital technology skills, which obviously is going to be very important if they can't work on ground, right? They could get an online job. So that is incredible. Talk about that and its impact.
Oh, thank you so much. So the question that you're really asking is, what will this country look like post-COVID?
Right.
Part of it is what will higher education look like? But what you're really asking is the deeper question of what will our country look like? What will economic development require? How will we prepare individuals to successfully contribute to this increasingly complex workforce environment? That's what you're asking. How will we train workers to function in new sectors when many of the old sectors may not offer career pathways? And so one of the things that we are really focused on is, of course, women. How do we create promise, build renewed potential for women who may have lost their jobs because of COVID? So Forbes had a very interesting statistic for magazine. They said that between March 15th of 2020 and June 30th of 2020, so only a three-month period, more than 11 million women lost their jobs. That is an astounding.
It's incredible.
It's astounding. It's breathtaking. It's hard to even know how to conceive of that.
Yeah.
So then what is our responsibility, right? Our responsibility is to be at the forefront of upskilling, reskilling. It's to be at the forefront of helping women, you know, achieve greater credentials so that they can then go on and pursue different careers. So we've always been at the forefront and prided ourselves on anticipating those kinds of careers. So like you mentioned, digital literacy. One of the other degree programs that we're really excited about and is really gaining traction, and where there are hundreds of thousands of unfilled positions, are in cybersecurity.
Interesting.
We talked to somebody recently that was just talking about cloud computing, cybersecurity, just really, you know, the idea that technology moves much faster than we can learn. And so we're always playing catch up to some degree, and skills are unfolding themselves as technology moves. But that is, cybersecurity is critical, and we're seeing it more and more, especially as we're at home more and on more technology.
Right. So cybersecurity, applied data science, I mean, all of these are extremely high-paying jobs with tremendous career potential. They cross across all industries, and it is an area where women are underrepresented, all women, particularly women of color. So one of our mission-driven offerings is around cybersecurity. And as you said, it can be done anywhere.
So was that a successful initiative for you guys to offer that free 3-credit course? Did you have a lot of interest from?
We did. Yeah. We did. And equally importantly, it was not just that women enrolled in that three-credit digital literacy course, but they continued on. So that, to me, is the real proof of the experience, not just that you take one course, but what do you do next?
Well, and you think about the impact of that. So here I am, I'm working in hospitality, potentially not sure of my direction. COVID hits, I lose my job, I have no income. I go to a free 3-credit course at BayPath. All of a sudden, I open myself up to the possibility of higher education and potentially now have or am well into a pathway toward a degree and an entirely new life trajectory. It's pretty fascinating and amazing when you think about it.
I know. Isn't that powerful? I mean, I've got shivers just thinking about it. I do.
Sure.
What you just described, you know, is a very powerful and impactful experience. That young woman or woman returning to work at any age now has a future.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing concept.
Yeah, and to think about the role that you played there and your administrators played in that, I think that's why we work in education, right? So we really can change the lives of the students that we touch. Now, it's always a different feeling when you're at graduation with a student who was always going to go to college and always going to finish, and a much different feeling when it's a student that you maybe didn't think had a chance, or maybe didn't have a chance, that because of all these circumstances, this person is going to be walking across the stage. And that really is what it's all about.
And, you know, you're absolutely right.
I give you guys credit because that takes a, you know, and I always do this on these episodes, take it to the dollar and cents, but that costs dollars and it takes an investment. When you're offering a free course, especially if it's faculty led, you have an upfront cost. You still have to pay dollars and investment in that course with the potential of zero return, with the return being social impact for good, and that being enough, right? And that has to be enough.
Right. Well, there's a phrase called social mobility, which is such an important phrase in higher education. It's, you know, taking people from one, perspective and moving them along in their careers, opening up their minds to new perspectives, whether it's advancing in their current career or, you know, as we said, looking to a completely different career. And isn't that the promise of education?
Yeah, Liz, I know you're all about that.
Absolutely. And I think what's fascinating for me is I have so many questions, but I think what's fascinating for me is the fact that you have a background in more of the ed tech space. And I feel as though it brings a totally different perspective in terms of looking at some of the things that Joe's always talking about, the dollars and cents and potential. And sometimes I think for higher education, sometimes we get stuck in the way things have always been done and we don't necessarily think outside the box. How does that inform your leadership? And I noticed that you guys are looking at strategic alliances and different things where it seems like maybe you're more forward thinking in terms of working on how to create those commonalities between the private sector and what you're doing there on campus. Is that something that strategically you've been thinking about?
What is your marketing challenge? Are you pacing short for your start? Is your cost per inquiry increasing? From sophisticated software, multi-touch omni-channel nurturing to the latest in digital media, MDT will help your school captivate, resonate, and automate your marketing efforts. Learn more about MDT Marketing at mdtmarketing.com. Your marketing challenges end here.
Absolutely. In fact, our efforts are increasingly built upon working in partnership with employers, with industry groups, with other educational institutions to prepare for the workforce of the future. And that's where my background and the background of so many of our talented staff and faculty here at BayPath who come from business as well as academia. So we are rooted in the industries that we hope to serve. Mm-hmm. And that is very powerful. So when we think about the workforce of the future, you know, we think about building these education and employment ecosystems. You know, we think about new learning models where students, you know, perhaps they don't. The current model is for many students, not all, but for some, you know, you go to school and then you go to work. You go to school and then you go to work. The model, the blueprint that we envision is a more integrated working and learning experience. And so incorporating that into a lifelong learning ecosystem is what we're thinking about in partnership with business. So we are very interested in exploring how BayPath can work more closely and be that school of choice and be able to fulfill the talent pipeline that's going to be needed in our region and beyond in order for our nation to be successful.
That's a great point.
You know, Sandra, one of the things that I think we're leaving out here, and you're going to have to fill in the timeline for me, but I was reading about you today and there's this article and picture of you shaking somebody's hand on like February 27th as you're visiting a campus. And so you took over not expecting any of this to really be where it is. And so you've entered in probably the hardest year ever in higher education when it comes to operating an institution. How have you been? How have you personally worked through all of these obstacles? You know, because I'm sure you didn't think when you came in on day one, I've got a global pandemic to handle right now, you know, and I'm coming in and shaking my fist at it, you know, so you've had to do a lot of mental prep and probably some mindfulness along the way. How's your leadership changed? How have you worked through all of these things? Because I'm sure you've lost some sleep along the way.
Well, I'll tell you, the leadership team here at Bay Path is talented, and there is no leadership team that is stronger than the one here. The faculty are creative, they are engaged, and everyone cares about student success. So if everyone has the same value systems around respect and integrity and inclusion and communication and transparency, when you're operating from that same value system, then it makes everything easier. And that's what we have here. That is the value system we have here at Bay Path. Now, originally, and I think probably many of us felt this way, we thought, oh my gosh, Zoom all day long? That's not what we had in mind. But for me, it has been a blessing because I am still able to meet with everybody on campus, faculty, students, administrators, staff. And in fact, it has given me a more intimate interaction, a more personal view and lens into their lives, into the challenges they're facing. You know, many of our staff and faculty have children. And in Massachusetts, many of our schools are remote as well at the high school and elementary level. So not only are, our staff, our faculty, my colleagues having to work remotely with Bay Path and with Bay Path students, but they're also having to homeschool their own students and be sixth grade math teachers and, you know, second grade reading teachers because their own children are online or their parents are now living with them or, you know, a neighbor needs additional support. So
the demands are much higher than they were before. It's
they are. But when you're a member of a caring community and an empathic leadership team, then, you know, I would not wish this virus on anyone. Of course I wouldn't. But part of our job as leaders is to help provide optimism. There is a vaccine coming. How are we going to work together so that we continue to serve our students and we emerge stronger and our students emerge stronger? And that's our focus. Mm.
Do you think I'm taking Liz's time, and Liz, please, you know, you can knock me right out of the way whenever you want. But I'm just curious about you touched on it earlier. You talked about women lifting other women, and at a women's college, if this can be during normal times, is there just a higher level of confidence and self-confidence and you know, I'm going to be leaving college and entering the workforce because you've been prepared by your peers for it along the way? Is there a different level of preparation than there would be in a co-ed, you know, institution?
There's a different level of compassion and a different level of support. So there are statistics that show that all female study groups perform at a higher level than co-ed study groups. There are statistics that show that women that graduate from women's colleges perform better on various metrics, particularly relating to STEM, so science, technology, engineering, math. There are statistics that show that more women who graduate, a higher number of women who graduate from women's colleges go into the STEM fields and achieve their doctorates. So I think the secret sauce for Bay Path around women is support, it is nurturing. We have a culture that supports collaboration more so than competition. In our classrooms, we want everyone to succeed. We're not interested in winnowing out some people through, you know, some of the more difficult courses. That's where all those wraparound supports come into play. whether it's through the Soul Model online, whether it is through on-site advising. Of course, when I say on-site, I mean on Zoom now. But it is those real-life human interactions that support every individual and provide the kind of support that they need, whether it's academic, whether it's, you know, specific tutoring, whether it's other kinds of support, whether it's support in technology. Those are the things that we provide at BayPath that are very differentiating. It's that lifting up, it's the collaboration, it's working in multicultural teams, it's building the confidence through internships, through mentoring, through additional curricular programs that are focused on leadership. We have a very intentional focus here on leadership. What are the skills that will make for a successful leader? And I think that's our differentiator.
Right, because you want these women to get out and lead in any industry, in every industry where,
absolutely,
where there aren't enough women, right? So you've got to teach,
absolutely,
the foundational leadership skills that get them there.
Yeah, you are so absolutely right. That is a beautiful way of describing it. We empower our women to go out, to learn here, to build their confidence. You know, they leave here, many of them giving us sentences like, you believed in me more than I believed in myself. I reached greater heights thanks to this professor who pushed me because of my study group, because of my peer group, because of my sisters. They ensured that I was supported so that I could learn no matter what my personal circumstances were. And that's very powerful, very powerful.
Oh, for sure. I love that concept of not wanting to weed students out, but I think, you know, we've seen that a lot in traditional higher education where you go to a state school, especially a large state school, and it's kind of like, hey, you know, this is survivor here. And it's like,
right,
hopefully you'll make it to the end. And I love that idea of community and the idea of we're all in this together and giving the students, especially women that may not have that confidence, the ability to get a support system, a network in place that helps them to get through and provide that support network to focus on retention rather than weeding out students.
Right, right.
Preventing
right.
them from getting to the end, right?
Right. Every student that comes to BayPath, we feel completely confident that they can succeed. Mm-hmm. And if there comes a time when they're stumbling because of family issues, because of, you know, other life issues, that's where we want them to know that they can turn to us. And in fact, sometimes we know they're stumbling before they do because we have all of these tools and systems in place. So we can reach out to them and say, you know, what are your barriers to success here? And we are here to support you.
I love that. I think that's amazing.
Right. Right. That's well, really we can't leave students behind,
yeah.
You know, simply because they have life that gets in the way.
For sure.
By the way, when we have those pauses, it's because somebody says something that just makes us think. And I always go when I do the editing, I'm like, do I edit out that pause? I don't think so, because it sounds too polished. We like it to be a little rough and thought-provoking here because, you know, institutions like yours are really doing some innovative things.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to, you know, we respect that. We respect the innovative thinking. We respect the, you know, lifting up a women. I mean, gosh, you know, Liz is just like the perfect example here because she is just an absolute dominator when it comes to social media and what she does on LinkedIn. And Elvin and I were just honored to be able to lift her up whenever we can just to say, it's Liz. I mean, she's the star of the show here. I mean, she, you know, I know you say you're not Liz, but you really are. And, you know, so it's just pretty incredible what you're doing. The free 3-credit course, I come back to that because I just go, what a way to serve the community.
Yeah.
And what if every school adopted something like that? Like it would change the face of higher education as we know it.
Right.
It
could.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It really would. I mean, the other thing that we're looking at very, very carefully here as an institution, because we know we must, is that last year when many high schools went remote and moved to remote learning, many of the seniors, their education was cut short because the high schools needed to focus on the younger children who were moving up through the ranks. Remember, at that time, we did not know that the pandemic was going to be with us for this long. I think many of us thought it was a 2 week, 4 week, mm-hmm. 6 week, you know, but now we're into week. I don't even know what number week we're in.
Too many, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Too many. So the challenge for colleges for next year, for fall of 2021, whether they're returning students, incoming students, you know, first year students, whether they're from particularly hard hit cities, you know, because of the financial crisis or because their schools were not able to reopen, those students will not have been in a robust setting for 18 months.
Right.
Wow.
So how will they be prepared to do college level material? And I think that's something as a nation we need to really grapple with.
And that's an issue, I think, at all levels of education right now, is this lost time, this issue of lost time, lost. It's like muscle memory to be in school. It is, right?
Right.
And it's muscle memory. It's time management and muscle memory. And if you lose that, it's hard to get back into it, even mentally.
It is.
Take on willing work that you may or may not like, that you don't know is good for you yet. Let me ask you before we get to our final two questions, and we've been asking every president this because I think it, and we're going to go over the time we told you, but I hope that's okay. What's the value of a degree right now? I mean, there's so much information and so many people out there that are ROI, you know, or the value of a degree is really nil. You can go get skills somewhere else. You don't need a degree. You don't have to have a degree. The workforce doesn't really need a degree anymore. You got another contingent of folks. There is still value in a college education. I believe, me personally, believe that the value is immeasurable still. I don't think it can be measured. I think it's actually a mistake to try and measure it in some instances. But what's your thoughts?
So I'd like to talk about some of the degrees that we've been talking about. Cybersecurity. You must have a degree because the skill set that is required is so complex. You need critical thinking skills. You need technology skills. You need to be able to synthesize data. You need to be able to, you know, work with teams. All of that is what you learn going through college to achieve a degree. I agree with you. There are some jobs that do not require a full four-year degree. Maybe you only need a certificate. Maybe you need a micro-credential. Maybe you need a badge. But if you want to progress in your profession of choice, then you will need a degree because you need all of those other skills. You don't need just the technical skills, which I shouldn't say you don't need those. You do need those. You do need to understand the content area. You do need to understand, for example, to be an occupational therapist or a physician's assistant. You need all of those very scientific skills. You also need the patient care skills. And all of those emerge as you go through college and achieve your degree. But not every job requires that. And so universities like ours are becoming much more adaptive. We have already begun offering certificates and micro-credentials so that if you're in one profession and you want to move to another profession, you're able to do that. You don't have to go back to school and get another four-year degree. What you have to do is learn the content. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to become really important. Students are looking for different types of knowledge. And sometimes knowledge can be delivered in bite-size, short-term courses. Sometimes it can be delivered in internships. Sometimes it's on-the-job training. But for the kinds of careers we believe where women can truly excel and be leaders in the sciences, in technology, in engineering, in cybersecurity, in physician's assistants, in the medical fields, then a degree and an advanced degree in many cases will be essential.
right, Liz, you want to take this one?
Yeah, the value that comes with a degree, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Is it expands the way you think about life. It expands the way you think about possibilities because it's connecting all these different dots and you're not just focused in on one slice of knowledge. It's the entire knowledge base. It's the skills. It's the professionalism. It's the, you know, looking across content, looking across disciplines, looking across fields. I mean, what we're trying to do, all of us, are to prepare our students today for jobs that do not yet exist.
Right.
Right. And so when you think about how to best do that, you need to do it in a way that opens up students' minds to different possibilities so that they can be the problem solvers for the future. That's what we need, more problem solvers.
For sure. That's a mic drop moment right there. You're definitely speaking Joe's language and definitely speaking mine, because we've got to think outside the box and get creative. And we love the insights that you've provided. It's been a really refreshing conversation. And this has been some really valuable insight that you provided for us. So we want to be cognizant of your time. I'm just going to ask a couple last questions that we typically like to get a little bit of feedback about. The first one being just if there's anything that we didn't talk about your college, about your university that maybe you want to just add, and also what you see as the future of higher education.
So when I think about BayPath, I think about innovation. I think about futurist thinking. At BayPath, we are particularly good at looking into the future and saying, okay, this is a profession that is developing. This is an area where women can excel and that we want to prepare women for. So that's a very important part of our history. And it is something that we reinforce every day. Innovation, creativity, focused on what's best for the student. So that's a very important part of our mission. That career focus, that's what's best for the student, and we're really focused on that. So thank you for that question. And then, Liz and Joe, when I think about the future of higher education, I go back to a place where we talked about what is the question. The future, the blueprint for higher education is anchored in the blueprint for America. What will our economy look like? What skills will be required? Those problem-solving skills, Liz and Joe, that we just talked about. How will we train and upskill, retrain workers to function in a new economy? Some people want to go back. They want to go back to where everybody was living on the quad, where everybody had two or three dorm mates. But that's not what American students want. They want flexibility. I did focus groups all fall with our students. What is it that you like about the new format? What are you missing about the old format? Here's what I heard. Flexibility is king. They want to be able to take the courses that fits best with their schedule because they are thinking they have other responsibilities. They're thinking about their other responsibilities, and so they need education to fit in with their life. So that flexibility is absolutely critical. Sometimes it's taking a course on campus. Sometimes it's taking a course online. Sometimes it's taking a micro-credential. Sometimes it's a certificate. Sometimes it's that three-credit course, Joe, that gets them thinking about what else could they be doing with their lives. So I think flexibility is going to be absolutely enormous going forward. Also, partnerships. Partnerships with businesses, partnerships with other institutions. It is our responsibility to make sure that that talent pipeline is filled. And so the best way to do that, in our view, is in direct partnership with the people that are going to be hiring our students of the future. You know, there are so many possibilities for the future. I'm an optimist. I'm sure you both are optimists. That's why we're in education. So we need new models, like we're building a Bay Path for women who, despite the impact of COVID, I would say, are seizing new possibilities, like you described. You know, they're taking advantage of those free courses, and they're pushing for true change. You know, we've talked about the recent election where women are entering politics and they're winning. This is a turning point. It's a turning point for higher education. It's a turning point for our country. And I am very optimistic. And Bay Path is going to contribute to the optimism, to the economy, and to what America is becoming.
I think we could see why you are the president of Bay Path University.
That's right.
Very well about Bay Path and your impact. So it's been an honor. You've been listening to Sandra Doran, president of Bay Path University. Thank you so much, Sandra, for coming on. We had a big experience.
Well, thank you, Joe and Liz. Be safe and be well.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. To learn more about the EdUp Experience, please visit edupexperience.com. And if you want to be in on the live recordings, please sign up for our email list. Go to edupexperience.com and sign up to be a subscriber. We'll let you know how you can listen live and get the scoop before anyone else. So please always feel free to share this podcast, rate, review, and subscribe. We would really appreciate that. You've been listening to the EdUp Experience, where we make education your business.